You're listening to Georgia Steins on ABC Radio Canberra.
When we look at disappearing trades, you might sort of think, oh, well, they're disappearing because the demand's not there. But that's not always the case. In fact, some trades of old are actually still in quite high demand, from traditional crafts like French polishing. You got art conservators and many other trades. And the recent COVID restrictions highlighted the shortage of coopers in the Australian wine industry and scientific glassblowers to make research equipment. Senior conservator at Endangered Heritage Victoria, Pierce, is the organiser of the National Endangered Skills and Trade Show. And I think it was cancelled last year, but it's back.
Yes, it was cancelled last year, as I think everything was.
Yes.
But we're back. 2019.
Yes.
We had about 18 different businesses participating in the demonstration part of the event, Saturday and Sunday. We got over 6,000 people through the door.
Wow.
So
what happens at the demonstration part of it?
The event will run July 3rd and 4th at the Fitters Workshop. And in that event, we have this year probably about 30 different vocational bespoke traders, all small businesses with specialised skills. And while they can sell goods and wares, they're mostly there with their workbench and tools, actually demonstrating how they do things.
And what are some of the trades that we can expect?
This year, we've got a few people still tentatively booked because we never know when those borders are going to shut. So I'll talk about the more local ones that we've got that we can definitely confirm. We have a French polisher, we have an upholsterer, stonemason, a bicycle maker who's now moved into making Paralympic wheelchairs. And that's a really great example of how really traditional skills and trades are at the cutting edge of innovation for new industries and why these professions are actually really necessary for new industries and job employability, particularly for youth. Yeah.
Do you want people to come along and get ideas to go into the trades, or is it
Absolutely. Yeah. And we are selecting traders who are looking for apprentices and a trainee. So if I get approached by two cobblers, for example, if one of them's looking for a trainee, that's the one we'll select. So we're trying to mix it up each year so that over the next few years we're hoping this will be Australia's largest private vocational event. And we're hoping that that will grow. So eventually it'll become not just a show and tell for the public, but an opportunity for students and parents to actually meet with experts in their skill area about the kind of work that they do and where those careers are likely to be going forward.
So cobblers, is that if someone wanted to go into being a cobbler, is that the main way that you would get the skills would be as an apprentice, as opposed to it being taught at a tech college?
Well, traditionally, yes. Unfortunately, most of these trades have lost their apprenticeship pathway. And that's not an unreasonable thing. CIT is absolutely fabulous at producing 700 trained electricians that all do exactly the same things and no one gets killed. We need national standards in those professional trades. What we actually need in these bespoke trades is individuals with special niches and special focus skills. So if we take cobblers, there are those who do fancy dance shoes. There are also those who do medical shoes for people with prosthetics or other medical needs. So you can see that single training where we are punching out lots of people with the same skill through TAFE isn't necessarily the best pathway anymore. But equally, a lot of our traders can't hire people. There aren't enough skills, or the training and apprenticeship wage isn't recognised anymore because they're not registered or covered anymore by the apprenticeship board.
What are some of the other career opportunities?
Well, I think one of the ones that I hadn't realised were in such short supply and really amazed me was scientific glass blowers, because I thought these days, you know, scientific glass comes in a bulk order from shot made in China and that was that. So I discovered that actually for unique research in our universities, they often glassware has to be custom made to be able to carry out particular projects or research work. And it has to be absolutely exact.
Mm.
So scientific glassblowers have a very long training and are absolutely necessary. If we lose those, then we actually lose our ability in our universities to do a lot of original research.
It's not something you hear at a dinner party, is it? What do you do? I'm a scientific glassblower.
No, but wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah, it would be very cool. That not just and I be wonder the what the skills you need for that.
Well, glassblowing.
Well, no, glassblowing, but. It's the thing about the scientific, it's got to be what exact thickness.
Yeah, is that the, so if yeah. you're making pipework or vessels or drips or titration taps, they've got to be able to make sure that the drop that goes through is going to be exactly the same every time. So you've got scientific reproducibility. So, yeah, and in the area of glass, it's also glass eye makers for people who need prosthetic eyes. Like, we're not talking heritage skills as, you know, making rocking horses or wooden spoons. We're talking about actually really essential professional trades.
And I wonder, is it different, like, there's the making but then there's repairing? Is that like a different trade in some way?
Yeah, and that's, I guess, where I fall in as a conservator. I do.
You fix stuff.
I work in the repair space, repairing, maintaining, cleaning heritage items and artworks. And sometimes that involves the manufacture of replicas or facsimiles for display purposes.
Mm.
But it does also mean that we are really interested in conserving our history and heritage. And in Australia, it would be remiss of us not to include our intangible heritage, which is why we started organising this event.
Mm. What about things like saddlers, those sorts of, I mean, do we have local people doing that work?
We do, but again, it's an area where there isn't a lot of formal training. A lot of people are reverse engineering, pulling apart old objects, trying to teach themselves. I guess saddlery went by the by because everyone said, oh, you can buy a saddle cheaper from China.
Mm.
But if you ask someone who works their whole life sitting in a saddle, there's nothing better a customised saddle that they're sitting in all day as a tool of their trade on a horse as a farmer. I mean, that's a small investment.
That fits your body.
Yeah.
Or your derriere in this case.
And length of your legs,
length,
and
all
the
that
size
stuff.
Of your horse. I mean, I'm not an expert in saddlery, but I'm pretty sure that an off-the-shelf one's not going to be the same.
No. Can you give me some more that we haven't spoken about yet?
We've got a horologist coming.
Oh,
a horologist is
watches?
A person who does watches and clocks.
I only know that from trivia.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yes, some of these trades have cool names as well.
Yeah.
So we have a horologist coming who will be probably making cogs and things from scratch for the public to watch.
So when we look at watches and clocks, same person, same trade?
Yes.
I'm assuming that they all have different specialties because obviously watches have evolved.
Yes, they have. The top-end watches are still very mechanical, and if you look at sort of Mont Blanc and Patek watches, you know, they're starting price $100,000, you know. They're a precision piece of engineering and they require a precision approach. One of the skills that I hadn't realised was that horologists are called out, of course, to climb up rickety ladders into clock towers to change the clocks every daylight saving and back again for all of the town hall halls, Sydney High Park barracks, all of those really out of reach clocks all have to be handmade, hand maintained. Clocks need to be repaired, otherwise they lose time. These aren't trades that are dying out because suddenly we've got a digital watch on our hand. These are trades that are actually really necessary. Watch repairers also work on things like barometers and other precision equipment and can help a lot with the spare parts, cogs and things. Yeah.
Now, I heard that we've got a taxidermist.
Yes, we're hoping we have Nat coming again from Rest in Pieces. She did taxidermy for the public to watch during 2019, and that drew quite a great crowd. Taxidermy is not a dying profession. There's a huge need for taxidermy and also the maintenance and care of taxidermy animals, things like thylacine skins and stuff. We can't get more, and for some animals we don't want to take more from the environment. So those skills are really critical.
As Texter Unsigned says, bridge and wharf carpenters are a disappearing trade.
Absolutely, and so are roof truss trades. So I think they might be covered in the same trade, but I'm willing to take a Texter to tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
bridge, wharf, but also cathedral roof trusses.
Yes.
Those sorts of repairs and
so
that, work.
So that's a specialist area of carpentry.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they've just discovered, obviously since the fire of Notre Dame, that even in Europe where they're losing the skills to be able to replace some of those huge structures. The aim of the event is to bring these trades out into the open. Some of these trades might still be a little bit oblique. Things like gem cutting, where you may not be able to compete in an international market of gem traders in India already cutting stones. But are they skills that we're prepared to lose entirely? That's really the question that we have to ask ourselves. And I think COVID has really made us think a lot about the supply chain and what skills we need here as a country.